Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bucks UK TV. I'm joined by Stalwart Mariana, but two rookies this time, Suk and Carsten. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hi, Kieran.
So, Suk, I'm sure you'll know if you're anywhere on the Facebook and the NFL UK scene, you'll know that name and that face. And if you're on Twitter and you've been following Bucks Germany as the Munich Massive took shape a few weeks ago, you'll recognize Carsten as well. But just in case someone's been living in outer space, Suk, tell us a little bit about you and how you became a Bucks fan and joining the Bucks UK and stuff.
Yeah, so I've been a Bucks fan since 2008. So I literally got involved in the NFL just through the international series. So it was one of them situations where I've just finished uni. I needed a sport to follow. Football, as in soccer, as we call it in America, it was getting a bit boring. The same teams winning over and over again. And it just came to a point where I just thought, let me try this NFL stuff and, you know, see what the international series is all about. And to be honest, it's not very much of an exciting story. I literally just picked the team out of a hat and the Bucks came up. And the first thing I did was I just bought a Derrick Brooks jersey. And then obviously, like any fan, then I started doing my research on, you know, the history of the Bucks. And now I feel as if, even though I've followed the team since 2008, I feel very much still part of the whole success that we've had over the course of, prior to that. And just obviously engaging with a lot of the Bucks UK guys as well. So I've been a member of Bucks UK now for a number of years, but really, I think it was Munich where we kind of all got involved together and I got to know a lot of you guys now. So I really appreciate, you know, you having me on.
So, yeah, thank you, Suk, and welcome. So, Carsten, fittingly sipping your beer when we were joining you in the Hofbrau House. Tell us about yourself. How did you become a Bucks fan and what's Bucks Germany all about?
Well, yeah, I'm a long-time Bucks fan, so I joined the Bucks in roughly like 1995. And, I came to the NFL, to American football, through the end of the Europe days. Hopefully you remember, of course, the famous London Monarchs. And, I was a keen supporter of the Rhein Fire. And at those days, yeah, of course, the NFL became more interesting for me as well. And, I think I chose the Bucks by coincidence as well. Yeah, so I saw some development that was ongoing these days, so the drafting, Mike Olster, Doug Brooks, John Lynch, all the old guys. And that was fantastic. And I became a huge Mike Olster fan. So meeting him again in the Hofbrau House, of course, that was, for me, was awesome. Yeah, I met him 20 years ago, because I was lucky enough to attend the first Super Bowl of the Bucks versus the Raiders in San Diego. That was my first live NFL game. That was fun. And I met Mike again. I showed him some pictures of the old days. And it was a great memory. And here I am and running the Twitter account, Bucks Germany. And I think we took a lot from you guys. We're so thankful. Thanks for helping us out, setting it up. Bucks community in Germany is still quite, let's say, small compared to other teams, but we're growing. And of course, the last 3 years, there was, I wouldn't say an explosion, but of course, new fans came aboard. And we're just trying to work around that and try to grow it and to become a local Bucks community in Germany as well. And I think we really showed up at the Munich game 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. It was really nice to meet you and Toby and all the others. And what you maybe lack in terms of quantity compared to the Seahawks, definitely make up in terms of quality. And not least in terms of beer drinking capability. But the less we said about that, the better. I think the injunction still holds. So that's the pleasantries out the way. Now, unfortunately, we have the dubious honour of reviewing what happened against the Browns. Suk, I think you were saying it best beforehand, kind of, you know, we had a bye week and then what?
Yeah, I was expecting a lot more from, I mean, comparing to what happened with the Bucks a couple of years ago, I think a lot of us have very fond memories of the bye week from 2 years ago when the Bucks coming back and then going on that massive run. I think a lot of us expected the same thing to happen because we came off on the back of two very hard fought wins against the Rams and Seahawks. And we thought, yeah, we've not played well. You know, we kind of let the Seahawks back into it in the fourth quarter. And I thought, yeah, things are going to progress. But it just seems to have now gone back to square one again. And I think that's where the frustration lies for as Bucks fans, we were expecting a lot more than what was delivered last night, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, Carsten, we've heard like people blaming the coaches, people blaming the O, people blaming the D. Luckily, no one's blaming the punter. But beyond that, I mean, kind of where if you had stick a pin in it and say that's where the fault lies, where would you pick it?
Well, I think it's just a change in the mindset since Bruce Arians left, honestly. I mean, when we had Bruce Arians, it was always about playing to win. And currently, I think since Bolt took over, it's really like playing not to lose. And there was so much frustration in that game, which occurred. Of course, there were several things. It's just the small things. I think the defense played quite well, besides giving up the first run for a long touchdown. That was okay. But they were really in the game, yeah? I can fully understand you say, well, I trust my defense. However, I mean, if you're the greatest quarterback of all times playing for your team, having three potential Hall of Fame wide receivers in your team, yeah, and then start punting at fourth and two at midfield for a gain of net 22 yards. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. Yeah, and this would have never happened 2 years ago or even last year. And I think that's the biggest mindset change. And you see it in the team. The whole team just does not overwhelmingly provide confidence. No one shows some kind of confidence, leadership, even not Tom Brady. And I mean, he has to deal with other things, maybe, no one knows. Yeah, but I mean, come on, we scored 17 points. Yeah, I mean, well, the New England Patriots with a backup scored 38 on them. Yeah, so I think it's just plain outright ridiculous what we did. I was still angry.
Gutted I had Mac Jones on my fantasy football bench. I'll never learn. Whatever I pick, it's the wrong way around. I mean, Mariana, you have the misfortune of also watching the Giants as well because of the family connection. You're not jumping ship just yet, I hope.
Never jumping ship. I'm Bucks through and through, as you know. It was just frustrating. I try and keep a positive spin on things, as you well know. I was actually quite pleased to see that Co-Keefe got his first touchdown in the NFL, so that was a nice one. I've been like cheering these two rookie tight ends on all season, so you know, I'm trying to find the positives in the game. So Co-Keefe coming out, I feel like when he's in the game, he tends to play more of a fullback position than the tight end, and he tends to give us a better running game in general. You'll see him leading blocks ahead of whoever's behind him, so if it's Rashad White or if it's Fournette. Obviously, Rashad White this week. I thought Rashad White played well, you know, had a couple of really, he had a really good, nice run early in the game. Like, wasn't it like the longest of the season or something? Like 20 odd yards, which is slightly worrying, but it was the longest of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to pick out the positives because, you know, it's easy to sit here and find the negatives. But at the end of the day, we got a game. Defense, I think, kept us in it. We stayed in till overtime, and we only lost it in what the second like set of overtime, essentially the second set of downs in overtime. So it wasn't like we just threw it away. We had chances that we didn't take. I definitely think we need to be more positive, but I'm trying to stay, you know, pick out the good bits of the game and not.
I mean, you're right. It's the closeness sometimes that kills you the most. You'd rather sometimes get a beat down than a close call because it just takes the wind out of you. But Carsten, you were saying about, you know, only scoring 17 points. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. You know, it felt to me, just playing devil's advocate, a bit like the formula that we praised in Seattle, you know, in the Seattle game in Munich. You know, it's run the ball. Don't make any stupid mistakes, then, you know, play action into the pass. It feels like that was the same game plan, but with a very different effect. So what went wrong?
If you ask me, I mean, there was no element of surprise, honestly. I think we went back to a couple of, well, bad play calling habits that we had before. Yeah, so even though a couple of things just didn't work out, we still stuck with them. Mm. And what was the surprising element of Munich, in my opinion, was that suddenly a couple of other players appeared. Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of surprise catches by Scotty Miller, yeah, who was invisible yesterday again, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just the same, well, it was always trying to do the same things. There's no element of surprise. And what I'm really shocked about is that it seems like we have no, let's say, safe plays for gaining 5, 7, 8 yards. It's really a couple of slants.
Yeah, well,
In all fairness, yes, Chris Godwin had something like
10 or 11 catches, yeah, which was great, yeah. But he's such a weapon. I think you can even utilize him even more, yeah. And so there was no element of surprise. It was always like, yeah, at least in the second half, you could foresee what is about to happen again. And so this is my critique that I have with Byron. It's really like, okay, guy, where is the preparation? Yeah, you had 2 weeks. Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, the Cleveland Browns defense is not one of the best of the world, yeah? But it was so easy for them to adapt, although their cornerback versus Mike Adams did a heck of a job, yeah? But, I mean, come on. There's still so many weapons, and you do not make use of it. Where was Kate Otten?
Yeah, he was a pleasant surprise in Munich. Not there at all. Yeah, so I don't know what happens, honestly.
Yeah, so I really had the feeling when we were in Munich that they really found the switch to turn it around,
even after the week after they beat the Rams with the last drive. And I really thought, okay, now they got it, and now let's start a run. Well, we know the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, Suck, do you agree with that? Well, is it the coaches? I think it's what Carson's pointing towards.
I think you have to put the blame not only on the coaches, but also a lot our offense as well. They just seem a bit all over the place. Brady with his throws, I don't think he's connecting with his receivers. I think someone else pointed it out. Mike Evans looks really exhausted to me.
Nine targets and only two catches.
Yeah, and it's not even the fact that he's missing the ball. He's not getting anywhere near. I mean, I remember one of the earlier attempts in the fourth quarter. He was a good 2-3 yards off the pace trying to get that ball, and it just seems to me that the desire is not there. In terms of the big problem we've got is, as I say, as you know, we're pointing out, we're not using players like Kate Otten. I mean, how much of our game last year was reliant on, you know, Gronk making those big plays? Because, you know, our receivers weren't always at the races last season either, but we always had that one play from Gronk, that one play from Break. Someone will come out of there and make a play. We had the Perryman touchdown last year. There just doesn't seem to be that player who can just take the pressure off our top receivers. And I think that's becoming an issue as well for this team, especially on offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the tendency is to focus on the skilled players. But Mariana, what do you think in terms of the line play? There were some suicidal plays, certainly on, you know, lineman on lineman sort of self-defeating plays. It was frustrating at times, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw like players tackling themselves. Yeah. I know we've shared a couple of videos over WhatsApp and so forth of our own players tackling each other, which, you know, where's the coaching in that? It worries you that your own players are tackling each other. I think, you know, I think we all took a massive gasp when we saw Tristan Wirfs go down. Oh, yeah. That's the last thing we need when we're already struggling on the O-line. They brought in, I think, Josh Wells on like a jumbo package, and all he did was get us a penalty. So it was like, bring in an extra lineman, brilliant, he gets a penalty, he gets a full start penalty. So it's like, even what they were trying to do with like the O-line and jumbo packages and just shifting things around just didn't seem to work either. But yeah, like the injury on Tristan Wirfs, I'm still raging about that. I think everyone that saw that is raging about that injury. It felt like dangerous play from the linebacker who climbed up on the running back and just kind of head first into Tristan Wirfs' legs. And just fortunate that he's only going to be out 3 or 4 weeks rather than a season ending or you know, potentially worse type injury, because he came down hard on his leg and it looked horrific at the time. Donovan Smith didn't particularly play well either as well. He let a sack through and he gave up a penalty at a bad time as well. And, you know, I wear the Donovan Smith shirt with pride, being now a part Smith as well. So, you know, I never like to see him have a bad game either, but he's not been he had his best season in that Super Bowl season, and it feels like he's regressed back to almost the sort of bad Donovan Smith years.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Smith, it would seem.
The line play wasn't great, unfortunately, and we weren't opening the holes for the running back either. We had a couple of early ones, and then that was it. We were getting 1-2 yards every time again. So, you know, that's their job. They've got to get us holes for our running backs.
But do you really think that the O-line was that bad? To be honest, I don't think that the O-line was playing really bad because, I think Brady had quite a lot of time. I mean, you cannot defend Myles Garrett something like 4 quarters. Yeah, so he will get his sack. Unfortunately, of course, he got his sack in the most, unlucky time of the game. Yeah, I mean, of course, that also was a backbreaker when he went past Donovan Smith. But I think Brady, in general, I think he had he had enough time compared to what he might have been used to. We are not having the elite O-line that we had maybe in 2020 and 2021 with Marpat and Kappa. But, well, I didn't see that much struggle. I think Brady was not on the run all the time. Yeah, so, well, and normally if you give him something like 2.5 or 3 seconds, he will find someone. Yeah, so I don't see them as bad as you just said. I think they were okay. Yeah, so not necessarily, at least from a pass protection perspective, not necessarily opening up holes. Yeah, but that's the issue for the whole season so far.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. I think the one thing that I would say is that the timing seems to be off. So even when Brady's got the time, he doesn't seem to be able to make the throw, as we were saying, like to Evans. You know, he's missing Evans by 4 or 5 yards on the sideline. And there's so much you can put down to pass interference, and there's so much, you know, to the sort of little handy bits between the defenders. But the timing seems to be off. So even when he's getting that time in the pocket, then Brady's not making the throw either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say about the O-line as well. I think we have to consider the play where Donovan Smith almost looked as if he gave up. I mean, Brady, I was really concerned for Brady at that particular play. As soon as Wirfs got down, it was literally the next play, I think, when Garrett just took his legs out. And Donovan Smith just seemed to have given up on that play because he all he did was reach his hand out. And that was a bit of a concern for me from a mental standpoint. Like, how much did that Wirfs injury affect them in for the rest of the game, you know, because they just seemed all over the place, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really valid point. And as you said, Carsten, Myles Garrett, you're not going to stop him on every down, but it felt like the mistakes that Donovan and Sanders were making were as much mental as physical ones. I think you're right. There's an element of focus, and, you know, who knows? We're not in Brady's head. We don't know how focused he is. You know, a lot of the skill players. I'm gonna go out on a limb because it's World Cup time. I'm gonna make a sort of soccer analogy. I said the S word, guys. Please don't hate me. I think Mike Evans is Kane. I you know, we know where he's had his ankles bashed around so long he can no longer sort of stagger in a straight line, and he isn't the target, but he's still that sort of talisman for the team, and I feel like Mike probably still does have that role in the team. It felt like, you know, if anyone's going to G them up, I think it needs to be Mike Evans. And, you know, no one doubts his, you know, commitment, his resilience, his toughness. I guess the exam question for you all is, how do we score more than 17 points? Because in the modern NFL, if you want to win games, you need to put up some points.
Yeah, from my perspective, this is what I've said in the group. If we can't rely on the offense, maybe our defense needs to step up and get some points. You know, it's like Gruden said back in sort of the Super Bowl winning season, you know, get, you know, X amount of touchdowns and win me the game. If our defense can, you know, put up all these stops, you know, and maybe we need to start getting, you know, more ruthless in terms of trying to win the ball in very key areas, you know, trying to get those pick sixes. I think that a lot of that will then shift the momentum as well. It seems that I think have we scored any sort of touchdowns?
This week was the lesser spotted interception, wasn't it? There were not many of those. We probably do want to see them try and step up. So let's come on and move and talk about the defensive side of the ball. again, I'm just going to put it out there controversially. You know, they gave up 23 points and they let them march down the field in overtime. So whilst we're maybe putting all the blame at the O door, Mariana, let's start with you. Does the D get a clean sheet on this one or a pass at least?
I think the D was more knocked up. You know, we're looking at the offense and we're looking, as we say, a number of players that should be Hall of Famers. We know that Mike Evans should, we all think he should be a Hall of Famer. We all know that, like, Julio Jones is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. We all know that Chris Godwin, if he continues to play on his trajectory, he should be a Hall of Famer. You know, there's a whole bunch of them that should be. Defensively, we were injured. We were knocked up. We lost Winfield for a chunk of the game. He was on the sideline, on and off. And was he injured? Was he concussed? No, he came back in and so forth. I think it was it Dean that came down on his helmet and bashed up his nose and his face?
I was amazed how quickly he got up, actually.
Yeah, and so, you know, so there were a few injuries. And so at one point, I think our two cornerbacks at one point was something like Dee Delaney and Zion McCollum, which is not what I would call our first string, you know, cornerbacks by any means. We know that Zion McCollum is a rookie, super raw, and he's made some errors in his play, typical rookie cornerback play errors. You know, he ball watches sometimes rather than following his man and so forth. I would give them a cleaner sheet than I would give the offense. We're working with an injured D, and I think they actually played quite well. And they kept us in it and kept us in it and kept us in it, particularly in the second half where we just couldn't seem to do anything. You know, we went in at the half and we did nothing in the second half, and they kept us in it and kept us in it and kept us in it, and we just did nothing back for them. And so I would give the D a clean sheet just for the fact that they kept us in it and we did nothing, you know, the offense did nothing for them in return.
Yeah, I mean, in the fourth quarter, the Browns had 10 minutes of possession in the fourth quarter. Carson, do you think it was a talent thing? Was it a wear down thing? He plays.
Well, exactly. I said exactly. Well, I remember the old days where Warren Sapp once said, he said to the offense, "You score 70, we take care of the rest." Yeah, and 70 wasn't enough yesterday. Yeah, unfortunately. Maybe because Warren Sapp is not playing any longer for us. However, I mean, I'm fine with a D. I mean, Devin White at the beginning was a little bit, in my opinion, overmotivated, stupid penalty for the late hit. And however, I mean, he caught up. So later on, I think they were quite fine. They were defending the pass quite well. Yeah. To be honest, the equalizing touchdown, well, that was a heck of a catch. Yeah, well, I'm not blaming Devin White for not being there. No. Yeah, well, it was a terrific play by David Njoku. Yeah, so, I mean, catching that with one hand, that was awesome. However, I mean, the only concern I'm having with the defense, I would also give them a clean sheet. However, the lack of turnovers. And this is really something that's really haunting us. Yeah, they are quite good in terms of they're getting some sacks. I think it was four yesterday. Yeah, they're putting some pressure on the quarterbacks. They're defending the run quite well. Yeah, even with Nick Chubb on the other side. There were a couple of runs, yes, of course, but there was the long run we have to take into account that went for the touchdown in the first quarter. But I think they were defending the run of the regular time quite well. But the lack of turnovers, of course, then you start to get exhausted. Yeah, and then we had the chunk punt. And to be honest, well, we didn't let them march down the field. The only thing they needed to achieve was something like 15 yards. Yeah, because they were at their own 40, 15 yards, and they would have had the chance for the, let's say, game-winning field goal. So I'm not wondering, well, there were a couple of people slipping, running over each other. Things like that happen if you're on the field that long. Yeah, so I'm not blaming the defense, but the lack of turnovers is really something that we really have to work on, especially in terms of interceptions. There are no interceptions. I forget about that Hail Mary interception. Yeah, I was even furious that he tried to catch it, because normally it's like, hey, come on, guys, just kick it, whatever, put it to the floor, yeah, do something, yeah, but catching it just to get the pick, I mean, come on, that's so risky, yeah, and it's a little things, but really, I mean, giving up 17 points, it's okay, it's really okay. I cannot expect them to hold every opponent to 10 points. Yeah, 70 points. Normally, you should win these games if you have a capable offense.
But it's hard, isn't it, Suck? I mean, because on the one hand, we're saying they did a good job, but they lost the game, and they were like, you know, I'm having a look at 11 QB hits, you know, 4 sacks. It's not a bad statistical performance, but there's something in between those stats, isn't there?
Yeah, there definitely is. And I think it boils down to what you guys have said. It's the time of possession again. That's what's killing us in every game. You know, it catches up with you in a season when you're having to play. I mean, from what I remember, we had 70 minutes of action, if you include overtime. The Browns had 40 minutes, close to 40 minutes of possession on offense. So that's a massive chunk for our defense to have to deal with that. And to have that concentration level, you know, through the four quarters is going to be hard. We did give up some plays. Like you say, it was very sloppy. The first series the Browns had, that was a very sloppy play. If we don't give up that touchdown, pretty much we're going into the fourth quarter having not given up a touchdown. The defense, you can't give them a full, you know, 100% pass. But at the end of the day, throughout the season, they're the ones who have actually come up trumps for us to try and, you know, win these matches. And you can't do anything about the Njoku catch. I mean, that was just an amazing play. But yeah, we're giving up these plays at the wrong times, and it seems to be very typical of the Bucs. You can just see it happening. And the frustration for me is, I mean, watching that game, I think the hardest thing to swallow for me was there was never a point in that game where I actually thought we were going to lose until it got to overtime. And I'm just being completely honest with you. I didn't have that in my mindset, and I'm normally quite a negative person. I mean, when it was...
You're a Bucs fan, after all.
When it was the Super Bowl and it was the fourth quarter, I was still not believing that we were going to win it. So for me to feel that the Bucs were going to go away with the W, and then for that to happen, it was just, it's just really, really odd. But you can't expect the defense to be on board, you know, for that time of possession.
Yeah. And obviously on the offensive side of the ball, we were talking about the players, we're talking about the system, we're talking about the coaching. On the defensive side, we've focused on the players, I think, Suck. But do you think there's anything to be said for Todd Bowles taking some share of this?
For me, the need for the shifts are again on the offense, and it's with Le Byron. From a defensive standpoint, Todd Bowles, he's put his stamp on this defense. They know exactly what they need to do. You know, but they've got a good game plan, and they've shown it throughout the rest of the season. So for me, Bowles does need to take responsibility. I think he's not the same sort of character as Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians would have rattled some feathers, you know, at this point. And we're not seeing that. We've seen it, you know, when we're watching on TV, you just see Bowles just sat in there with grinning. And sometimes you just need someone there just to rattle a few feathers. And I don't think that's there. We need that spark from someone. And for me, Bowles doesn't really give that spark.
Okay, so we'll finish up then with special teams. Those of you that watch regularly know special teams is very dear to my heart. It's a third of the game, everyone. Don't forget that. So we'll stay with you. Kind of, what was your take on special teams?
It's that boy Kamada again, isn't it? He just constantly, he's if he's not in the Pro Bowl this year, you know, that's a massive travesty. I've put my foot in on a number of occasions for Kamada, so you've got to give it to him. Again, he always puts us in a very good field position, and sadly we're not capitalizing on it. You know, that's the bottom line, isn't it? So yeah, some very positive things obviously to come out of that for the season is Jake Kamada.
Carsten, you agree, Kamada for the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's just bombing it. Yeah, of course. Well, he had the last one, of course, was a miscue we had to deal with. But these things happen. Yeah, I mean, he's still a rookie. Yeah, but if you have a punter who gives you something like a 50-yard plus advantage, yeah, the coverage unit is even also not too bad. I think, although yesterday, People Jones had a couple of very nice returns. I'm a little bit concerned, not with his punting, that's okay, but I'm a little bit concerned about the kickoffs, because we have quite a lot of, returnable kickoffs, so there's a lack of touchbacks, and I think we definitely have to work on that side, and if we turn it around, our special teams, we have Darden, it's just not spectacular. Well, I know he is quite fine in terms of the statistics. Well, that's what we heard. Yeah, so he's top 10 in most of the statistics, but there are no breakthrough runs. So something like where you say, okay, this is a game changer, or he changes the momentum of the game. He is reliable, but that's all. Yeah, so one thing that's really, I mean, that was the biggest issue also with the special teams, and that's also some concern of myself, that was that, yeah, unfortunate punt at 4-2, because we were not able to field it, yeah, and that was the one that Zion McCollum nearly had, yeah, and, well, of course, they always try to put it on the 1-yard line, but I mean, but if you put both hands in the air, even if it lands at the 3 or 5-yard line, it's a different story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mm-hmm. so that was in my opinion, that was really like the game changer, that specific play. Yeah, I'm still furious about that.
I guess if you're a Browns fan looking at it, you're probably bemoaning the fact that if you hadn't missed your field goal, it wouldn't have needed to go to overtime because you'd have won the game. So we should be grateful that we didn't have anything of that sort of order of magnitude. As always, though, you've heard from us. If you disagree, tell us down in the comments where we've gone wrong. While you're there, give us a little thumbs up and the usual subscribing. We've also had the thread on the forum. It was busy as ever, and we've got a few excerpts from your takes on the game. So first of all, we've got Scott McGowan. Absolutely dreadful result. We should have won that game. I can't believe we threw away all that momentum from Munich with that. That's exactly what we were saying. This lands squarely on the offense, and I don't get it with all that talent available. Phil Pushby, your friend and mine. Can't really fault the D when you hold a team to 17 points in regulation. Our clock management was poor. Our play calling was poor. Our execution was poor. Spoken like a true politician.
Phil.
And then Nick Moore, this loss is firmly on the coaches. They played not to lose and it bit them back. Oh, play calling in the fourth was dreadful. Clock management from the coaches. We heard a lot about timeouts and not taking timeouts, didn't we? Allegedly, the timeout not taken at the end was in case Tom Brady threw an interception, which doesn't seem like the mindset we would expect from Todd Bowles. Yeah. But he says, appalling mentality to be happy with a 7-point lead and go conservative and depend on the D.
By the way, this was a ridiculous statement by Todd Bowles, in my opinion, in the press conference. I mean, yes, if you have the fear that Tom Brady throws an interception at the wrong time, then you've spent too much time with James Winston. Yeah, so that was ridiculous, honestly. Yeah, he shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's funny you should mention spending too much time with Jameis Winston, because that's where the Bucks have to go next week. I mean, maybe it's going to be Andy Dalton still, probably. Let's hope so. So the Saints are coming to town, I think. It's 5-6, everything to play for, hopefully. You know, the NFC South does not seem to be the powerhouse of the NFL, should we say, this year. Maybe that's an understatement. So we'll start with you, maybe, in terms of, you know, so we're playing the Saints. What do you think are the keys to the game for either the Bucks or the Saints?
For us, it's just, it's our defense again. Our defense has to step up. At the end of the day, we've got to stop that bloody game. The Saints didn't really have a good game this week against the 49ers. Their running game was pretty much non-existent. So I imagine they're going to want to come back and prove a big point. And you know, we've struggled against the Saints, you know, bar obviously the game earlier in the season, that was kind of a one-off if you look at sort of more recent results. So I'm still very much concerned, but we've got to contain that Saints offense and just try and make sure that we can reduce obviously the, you know, them going up, because it's not just Dalton you've got to worry about, it's Taysom Hill as well. Their offense is very, very unique, shall we say, in terms of the play calling. You know, you just don't know what they got in store for us. And I imagine they're going to open up the playbook. So we've just got to be on guard and make sure that, you know, we're on the ball with it.
Yeah. Luckily, the Alvin Kamara at this point in the season doesn't seem to be the Alvin Kamara of years gone by. Carson, yeah. I mean, Sachs says it's all about stopping the Saints' offense. Would you agree with that, or is it the other way around as also?
I think the other way around. I think the first play of the game, we definitely have to start a brawl between Perriman and Lattimore. I think that's the key to success. Let this guy been thrown out again. I think that always helps us. I think I'm not necessarily concerned about the offense of the Saints, whoever quarterbacks them. I think that should be manageable by our defensive backs and also stopping the run, which worked quite well also in the first meeting we had with them. I'm more concerned really about the loss of Tristan Wirfs, because I mean, the Saints D-line is a powerhouse, and we know what Cam Jordan is all about when he faces the Bucs. And this is definitely something we have to play much smarter. I think we have to play much faster. We have to make sure that Tom Brady gets the ball out very quick. Otherwise, this could be a very, very long day for us. And we remember the last two games we had for the Saints and Tampa, which were blowout losses. And I think they cannot allow that to happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. Mariana?
I mean, we know that the Saints is our probably worst bogey team. Like that, we just don't seem to be able to get their number again. We get hyped up against them. We always seem to do something stupid against them. I'm hopeful this week that, you know, coming off of the back of the loss that we've come off, that Brady will get together with his, you know, wide receivers, with his O-line, and he's going to sit down. They're going to have that, you know, that sort of come to Jesus meeting that they talk about, and they are going to get together and they'll be on the same page for this week. I just get the feeling that Brady is not going to turn up and have another embarrassment like he had this week against the Browns, because it was relatively embarrassing for Brady, I think. He's not the type of player that will stand for having 2 weeks in a row that he's just not connecting like that. So I'm hoping for some big deep passes to Evans this week. And I think really in terms of the Saints, I think in terms of their offense, they've not got the players that they used to have. And really the big one for them is that Chris Olave, actually. He's been like the guy that has stepped up this year. And he's
the one Saint I would poach.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Really
let's defend against him. He'll be their number one receiver. As you say, Kamara hasn't been the Kamara of recent seasons. I think we've got a real good chance to turn the season around this week. We really need to take this chance and you know, turn it around.
So, Carsten, while we're talking about the Bucks and offense and long bombs and things and what they want to do. If you're the play caller, what plays are you sending in against the Saints, do you think?
Well, I think they will tend to be quite aggressive up front. Yeah, I assume they will do a lot of blitzing also with the front four. And I think you really have to, bring the pressure away from the D-line. Yeah, so I think the screen game could be quite interesting. Yeah. I will also, hit them with their own weapons, because we know what Michael Thomas did many, many years to us with all that slants. Yeah, have these slants as well. They sent them a lot of wide receivers, and if Chris Godwin gets 20 targets, then he gets 20 targets. I'm super fine with that. Yeah, and I would absolutely like to avoid again running stupidly through the middle if we see it doesn't work. And of course, as we pray for many, many weeks, play action, play action, play action. Yeah, well, come on. It cannot be that you don't play action with presumably one of the best quarterbacks in the game who has ever done it. Yeah, I totally disagree also with Byron Leftwich about saying, yeah, you have to establish a run first before you come to play action. That's ridiculous. I mean, we've seen it with the Detroit Lions, on Thanksgiving, yeah? They used play action quite a lot, yeah? Even on first down, so even if the run was not working. That's just a poor excuse, yeah? So use it and really, give them a lot to think about, yeah? Be creative and coming back, I mean, you were talking about the recipe for success. That's really where is the no risk it, no biscuit? I would easily exchange 5 more interceptions by Tom Brady versus 50 touchdowns more. Yeah, so just give it a go. Come on, you have to go for it. Yeah, go through, go over the middle. Yeah, look for the dangerous passes. Yeah, well, if they intercept you, well, I was not allowed to swear here. Yes.
No, it's passion. It's passion.
Yeah, it's passion. It is always. Yeah,
but if you're watching Byron, the two things he didn't say were running up the gut and stupid screens to the receivers.
Yeah. but that is exactly the point. I mean, the element of surprise is so important in the NFL nowadays. Yeah, and we have not seen a lot of that. Yeah, so, and I think there was a Twitter that I retweeted and would say, if we had Bruce Arians at helmet coaching our team, we would easily be 8-3. And I fully agree with that. Yeah, just by taking chances. Yeah, just by not relying on a close lead, relying on the defense. Just go for it. Yeah, if you're up 7, why we are not up 14 or 21 or something like that? Yeah, running up the score if necessary. Yeah, so I think that's the approach we have to go. We have to be more brave. Well, let's see what they can do from there. And it's very important, karaoke at the 2-minute warning. Yeah, I mean, that worked wonders. Yeah, so
absolutely, break out the John Denver all over again.
Yeah, whatever they want to play over there. Yeah, they definitely have to have some singing at the 2-minute warning, and then the rest is just a gimme.
I love it. So, Sucked. Then on the other side of the ball, I guess the big debate is how blitz happy should we be? Because although we think Todd Bowles isn't no risk it, no biscuit, the Bucs do blitz a hell of a lot more than the league average. You know, we're talking about injured secondary, but maybe not getting the pressure. How would you call the defensive side of the game against the Saints?
It's a difficult one because in the previous games we've had against the Saints, I felt that we have kind of been blitz happy and it's not always worked to our advantage. So I think we've got to just kind of stick with the game plan that our defense knows. You know, we saw earlier that, you know, we can force their quarterback to make mistakes, although it was Jameis. I think Andy Dalton's kind of almost of a similar ilk in a way. He's prone to making those mistakes. So as we do need to blitz, but also at the same time, we do need to kind of be wary of, you know, their running game. Because I honestly, although you're talking about Kamara not being the same player he was, I still think, you know, our running game does need, you know, a bit of work. They are capable of,
yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah,
getting a massive game. So for me, it's we've got to just be just keep what we're actually been doing in recent weeks, really, and I'll be happy with that.
And I guess the other running game is if we do see any bit of Jameis Winston or if we do see Taysom Hill, actually they've got lots of people that can run with the ball. So I think you're right to keep it contained and locked down is a really good call. But you do now have to put your money where your mouth is, and you've got to try and think about what the score is going to end up like. At this point in the season, I think I might be rolling a dice at this point because I always get it wrong. But Mariana, we'll start with you. What's your score prediction?
Oh, you had to start with me.
A win? Start with some. Break it down.
Look, as I always say, I'm a Bucs fan, and the heart says the Bucs every time. So I'm going to go with the Bucs win because I'm always going to go with the Bucs win. I think we might struggle early, but we're going to get it a little bit later, and I think we're going to win by a score, so it's going to be like 21-14.
Okay, 21-14, says Mariana. Suck, what's your score prediction?
I personally think we're going to really contain the Saints, and I think that I don't see them scoring more than 10 points, to be honest, on offense, the Saints. So for me, I think we will have somewhat of redemption when it comes to the offense. That there has to be, surely, now, because this is the biggest game of the season now. You know, we've got to win this one to stand any chance of, you know, getting the South. So for me, I think we're going to win 24-10.
24-10, okay. That's a bit more comfortable. We like that. That will keep the Raymond James faithful quite happy. Carsten, your score prediction.
This has got to be a terrible game. Absolutely. I will throw a lot of things on my television. This will be absolutely a grinder. There will be nerve-wracking. I fully expect that. I fully agree with Stuck also about the Saints won't score more than 10 points, but I think we won't be able to score more than 14. So I think 14-10 is just
that's going to be a terrible game for all of us. But if we win 14-10, I'm super fine with that.
Okay, well, that's good. I as much as I was thinking whether I want it to be a head versus a heart decision, I kind of agree with all of you in that I think this is a super important game. And you don't like to say that a game is a must win when there's 17 games in a season, but I feel like this one does have must win written all over it because it's a division game. It's going to be a tight game. They've normally got our number. This is about, I think Gonner is us looking at the getting to the playoffs by any other route than winning the South. So, division games count double. So I think we have to win this. If we don't win this, I think there's going to be some awful headlines in the morning. And I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on this team. But I do think, I like the idea one of you was saying about sort of oscillating or going back again. I think the offense is going to show us how inconsistent it is by being really good. So I think we're going to score some points. I think also we might see the defense getting some points because I think the Saints seem like they like coughing the ball up. So maybe we can't get a takeaway, but they certainly like to give it away. So we'll take that, gift wrap it, and take it down to the end zone. So I'm going to say something nice like 24-10. I think that's probably where I'd like to see it. But again, let us know your views. Tell us if you think we're barking. Don't come back next week and tell us we were wrong. If we were, we don't need to know. We'll already know. That'll be fine. Our usual thanks to Bucks Report for their help in promoting the podcast. Carson and Suck, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, brilliant. Appreciate it.
And thanks you guys for watching. If you've stuck it out this long, then surely you're all as insane as we are. We look forward to seeing you next time. And as ever, go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!